The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Another episode of Full Court Press. I'm your host, Nick Smith, and we are brought to you, as always, by Geek Vibes Nation. Joining me tonight is Joel Jimenez. What up, Joel?
What up, Nick?
Nothing much, man. Just, like, super excited. Trade season is officially upon us. It's going to be really exciting now until the trade deadline. It truly is the most wonderful time of the year, and it has nothing to do with Christmas. It's just NBA trades, man. Like, I love it. I can't wait to see all the trades that come about. And we kicked it off righteously with a relatively big trade almost immediately, and it was a trade that was, and then wasn't, and then was again. Obviously, I'm speaking about Trevor Ariza being traded to the Washington Wizards in exchange for Austin Rivers and Kelly Oubre. Obviously, there was Memphis that was going to be involved in the trade. From what I have read, essentially, Washington and Phoenix had been negotiating a trade, and essentially, Washington reached out to Memphis to try to get them involved, to get sort of extra assets, if you will. And, you know, essentially, everything was, like, ironed out and everything was good. And the trade was kind of being conducted by the Wizards GM. And it fell apart because Marshawn Brooks was the Brooks that Memphis was willing to trade, and Dylan Brooks was the Brooks that the Phoenix Suns wanted, and that was never on the table, according to the Grizzlies, understandably so. I mean, the kid's pretty good. He played a lot of minutes last year, and, you know, he's still got 2 years left on his deal, whereas, you know, taking on Kelly Oubre, got to re-sign him next year. So understandably so why they necessarily didn't want to pull the trigger on that deal. But that trade fell through, but they just went ahead and did the trade mano a mano anyway. And so Ariza is now a member of the Wizards, and Oubre and Austin Rivers joined the Phoenix Suns. Joel, we were kind of following this trade very closely as it broke down and you know, was a trade and then wasn't a trade, and you know, all of that jazz. First and foremost, what do you think about the trade in general? But also, like, just what are your thoughts on the fact that, like, Phoenix again is kind of involved in, like, a situation where they kind of come off looking like idiots?
I thought it was the weirdest situation we've seen in a while. It's weird to say it, but I always have an issue with, like more than one player with the same last name. It's stupid, but I can see how that could be an issue. But I mean, we're talking about professionalism between businesses. You got to be more vocal when it comes to that kind of shit. You have to be very clear. This is the Brooks I'm talking about. And I really feel bad for Marshawn Brooks and Dylan Brooks. I mean, like, Marshawn
Brooks. Yeah, did you see Dylan's tweet after the whole thing?
Yeah, he said, go Grizz with the eyes and shit.
Yeah,
oh, that's
with, like,
gotta be awkward.
The sweaty face, like, brushing off the sweat or whatever, you know?
Dylan should feel
That was great. Yes.
It was.
Well, I mean, at the very least, he should feel like, all right, yeah, you know, his team respects my game and, like, wants to keep me around. You know, that's good.
And I don't blame him.
Yes, well, and even more so, like, fuck, at least I'm not in Phoenix right now.
Yeah, true. This is true. But he's a good wing. He started for them last year. He could have possibly even started for them this year. He's a solid, solid player. He was in the rookie sophomore game last year. I like that kid. I liked him a lot.
Me too.
And I understand why they want to keep him. He was a surprise for them. And so I get it. He's young. He's still affordable. You don't want to give up that asset. Marshawn Brooks
right.
is a journeyman. He's played well for the Memphis Grizzlies, but he's a scorer. That's kind of what he is. He's a pure
right.
scorer. He's going to do what he does.
Right.
So I get why Memphis didn't want to pull the trigger, even though they would have gotten Kelly Oubre back. And I think Kelly Oubre would have been a nice small forward for them to have. But whatever, I get it. That shit died. So it died so quickly. It was like as soon as that the miscommunication happened, boom, done. No, we're not doing that.
Literally, it was 20 minutes after Juwan was like, "Hey, yo, this trade just happened." Like you sent back a message and was like, "Trade's dead." I was like, "Shit, like that was quick."
Yeah, real quick. It happened real fast. It was sad. But my thing with that was like you were saying when we were talking about it, like I don't know why they don't just do it straight up. Like you got to add a third team for it. Like, I don't get it.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm like, why wouldn't you want Oubre? It looked like Oubre was going to be like, sent somewhere else.
And
I think Oubre was like, one of the best.
I could understand why you might want picks in lieu of Oubre, but the picks you were getting weren't great. It was a mid second rounder, and then it was like a protected Boston second rounder that, at best case scenario, would be one of the bottom five picks in the draft. Most likely, given their record this year, it wouldn't convey anyway. So essentially, you were going to get a mid second rounder and Dylan Brooks out of the deal with Seldon there to make the money work. Like, I understand why you would want Dylan Brooks because he's got 2 years left on his contract. And he's like we said, like, we like Dylan Brooks here. It was never a situation to me, I agree with you, where it was like, oh, well, the third team dropped out. Like, I guess the deal's done. Like, I mean, I think immediately I was like, dude, why don't they just do this straight up? And you're like, right? Like, yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Like, look, they ended up making the deal. It worked out. Ariza's gone. Look, like we talked about it. It was just a part-time thing. It was just for Trevor to get his dough. Really all it was. Phoenix, I thought, expected to be better than they were. They're obviously not. So, like, we'll move on. People are going to pay. And they did. And, you know, Austin Rivers is a good combo guard. He's not a pure point guard. He's going to help, I guess. We'll see how they do it now. Melton, I think, has been starting for Phoenix. And I think they've been starting T.J. Warren, and Bridges has been starting. So I'm very curious to see how the point guard situation works out in Phoenix. And, of course, Trevor will probably end up starting that small forward in Washington. And Washington looks like they're going to make a push, Nick. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with Washington. I think Ariza will help them. To me, there's two things that stand out to me in this trade. One, what does this mean for Josh Jackson's minutes that have already kind of been dwindling but had started to kind of come back a little bit? But now that you got Oubre on the team, like, does that mean that those two guys are going to share what was Jackson's minutes and Ariza's minutes, and they'll kind of divvy it out equally? Will they try to look to move Ariza? Will they try to look to move Oubre or Jackson? I don't think you move Jackson at this point. Just because his value is so low right now. It's kind of the same thing with Fultz, and it's the reason why we don't expect the Sixers to move Fultz. And that's one of the reasons why the big. The trade that everyone speculates about is, you know, Fultz for Jackson. I don't really see that happening either, because I don't really think Jackson helps the Sixers because he can't shoot. Unless they can find a third team that they could you know, get a shooter from. I don't see that happening. And even if you can find a 13 that you can get a shooter from, are you still getting adequate value for Fultz, who's been hurt since he, you know, started playing in the league? I don't think so. But I'm really curious to see how they manage those minutes. I do expect Rivers to start for them. I think that you'll still see Devin Booker like handling the ball a lot, but you'll just see them trade off, and you'll see Rivers handle some, you'll see Booker handle some. So they'll try to basically work like a combo guard set with both of these guys together. It's really funny because for a team that forever had like, you know, 3 point guards on their roster at any given time, to have like no real viable point guards, it's really weird. Like it's crazy what like, 5 years does to a team. Because, you know, I mean, that was kind of their MO for a long time, was this team that had so many point guards, and they play three at one time on the court at times. But they obviously don't have that luxury anymore. But also, I'm really interested to see what happens with Otto Porter. Like, obviously, Otto Porter is a very good player. He's vastly overpaid. Do they make a move and move Otto Porter now that they have Ariza? Or do they maybe try to play some small ball and play Ariza at the 4, Morris at the 5 for a huge chunk of minutes throughout the game? And maybe that helps them. Maybe that helps them win, because they haven't gotten any really decent center play throughout this whole season. Dwight Howard's been hurt the majority of the season. Jan Mahimny is Jan Mahimny. Like, he's just not that good. And he's like one of those 2016 contracts, like Mozgov and Noah and, you know, the likes, Parsons and Luol Deng and all those guys. Is just a casualty of that huge hike in money. Biombo is another one. Do they try to work a small ball lineup? Because Morris can play some five, at least against some centers. He can't really square up against guys like Joel Embiid. But he can easily guard a guy like Brook Lopez. So, you know, is that the route they go? So I'm really curious to see. Like, I don't think Washington's done. I mean, I think they've made, you know, they've made a slew of kind of small moves, this being the biggest one thus far. And maybe they make a move to move Porter to get some kind of assets back and get under the luxury tax, get under the apron, so they're not having to worry about paying that. And that's going to, you know, potentially, if they can get back expiring contracts in return and, you know, some kind of assets, I wouldn't expect anything crazy. I don't think you're going to get a first if you're taking back expiring contracts. You might get a second or two. But you know, would they try to go that route to get under the luxury tax? You just traded for Decker. You got Troy Brown Jr., who's got a lot of potential. He hasn't gotten a lot of minutes on that team, but I like the kid. I think he's going to be a good player. If he can get minutes, I would like to see him get 15 to 20 minutes a game. LeBron James wannabe. if you buy into was it Beal who said that earlier in the season? Mm-hmm. Said something about him being kind of like LeBron, which is blasphemous. I think that'll be interesting to see how all of those situations pan out between both of these teams, you know, after this trade. But overall, I think it was a smart trade for both teams. If you're Washington, you're already so hampered in the luxury tax. Obviously, John Wall's extension is going to kick in. It doesn't look like they're going to find a trade to move him that would be beneficial to their team. And if you're going to keep him, I don't think they should trade Beal right now. I just don't think the market is right for trading Beal right now. I think the offseason, once all the free agency market has, you know, gone where it's gone, would be the ideal time to trade a guy like Bradley Beal if you're going to trade him. Right now you've got a lot of teams that are looking at free agency next year and hoping to land free agents. When those, like, a slew of teams aren't going to get any of the primo free agents, and when that happens, maybe that's your time to trade Bradley Beal. You know, when you got these teams like maybe the Lakers or the Knicks or whoever who are like, shit, well, we didn't get any of the big names that we wanted to get, you know, so maybe we should think about trading for a guy like Bradley Beal now. But those teams aren't going to give you what Bradley Beal is worth right now. So, yeah, with all that being said, I think it's going to be really intriguing where particularly where Washington goes from here, but also how, you know, Phoenix chooses to juggle everything that they have on their plate. And, you know, can you maybe flip Oubre for somebody who can be a reasonably good starting point guard for you? You know, I don't know. maybe not. But it's definitely something to consider. Anything you want to add, Joel, before we move on?
No, I just hope everything works out. My only issue with Washington is their wing depth is weak now. They have a lot of stretch fours. They have the rookie Troy Brown off the bench, and they don't really have a solid backup point guard. Satoransky is pretty good as both a wing and a point guard. But that's kind of all they got like off the bench.
He's more of a point guard than Rivers, though.
He's more of a distributor, at least,
than Rivers.
Right. He's definitely less selfish with the ball, that's for sure.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm very curious to see how they work out the rotation in Washington.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be fun to watch. All right, moving on. Jabari Parker. We got some news about old Jabari Parker. He is apparently out of the rotation in Chicago. He got a DMP, coach's decision, the other night, I think last night, and actually Chicago ended up winning the game. So maybe they should have done this sooner. I don't know. And they won a game against the Spurs. Like it was a close game, went down to the wire. You know, they were able to pull it out. It was kind of nice to see Chicago win a game because it's been a while. You know, like as a Hawks fan, I'm like, fucking damn Bulls, Suns, win some games, motherfuckers. Like, come on. Yes, exactly. I after we traded away Luka, I really, really need Zion at this point. Like, we need a transcendent player.
Dead bodies.
Well, I actually threw this out maybe today or yesterday on the Hawks page that I follow. Hopefully we get the number one pick and we just take Zion. But if the Suns get the number one overall pick, maybe we could flip our number one pick and the Dallas pick for Zion so they could take a point guard, which they really need. And then maybe all the fucking Hawks fans who are like, you should have kept Luka, will shut the fuck up because they're so fucking annoying. Like, dude, I think we should have kept Luka. But, like, how many times are you going to fucking beat that drum, dude? Like, it's over.
What are you going to do?
It's like Sopranos, man. Find a new show. So Jabari Parker, he's out of the rotation. There's been some trade rumors. Apparently Utah is interested. I don't know how that would work out. Kevin O'Connor dropped a report earlier today that that Utah might be interested in Jabari Parker. And, I mean, Derek Favors, like, kind of like a straight-up swap is the only kind of thing that I can see making sense because Chicago's not going to give up any assets to move on from him, especially not for a guy like Favors who could walk at the end of the season. And to me, that doesn't really make sense because despite Favors' ill fit with Gobert, he can at least give you quality minutes as your backup center. You're not going to get that from Jabari Parker. And, like, Jay Crowder is, in every essence, a better version of Jabari Parker. Like, not really even a better version. He's just a better player who plays the same position, actually can play defense, can hit threes. He's just way better. And I don't buy into that at all. But just in general, what are your thoughts on, Parker being removed from the rotation? And how do you expect maybe Chicago to go about, maybe trying to move him? He is virtually an expiring contract because he's got a team option on the second year, which is obviously going to be declined for any team that trades for him or the Bulls if they end up keeping him.
Right.
But, yeah, what are your thoughts on all that?
Ah, sad. Like, for him. Considering his off season and he's going back home. We always thought it was awkward,
right,
him playing there at the small forward position because he's more comfortable at the four. He actually had a pretty decent year. Chicago hasn't, but he himself has played pretty well. And it's just sad because, I mean, look, they suck right now. They know he could be a valuable piece for a team that needs someone like him. So they're basically sitting him out. So, you see what he could do. Let's not get him hurt because, he has that issue. He might get hurt. Let's sit him out. Let's let the young guys play, like Hutchinson and Markkanen and all them. Let's let the young guys play. And they'll try probably at some point before trade deadline trade him. It's probably best. It's probably for the best. But it sucks that it didn't work out for him. But hey, it is what it is, man. There's definitely going to be a team that's going to need Jabari Parker, and he could definitely help.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's had a good statistical season for himself, or at least an okay season. But he's been bad as far as he's been atrocious on defense. I saw a video, I think a Funky Diabetic posted the other day that was just breaking down. Did you know who that is? You follow him on YouTube?
No, that's just a funny name. That made me laugh.
Oh, yeah. He's got some good content. You should check it out. He kind of broke down like a lot of different plays of Parker throughout the season. He's been really bad defensively, man. He even had like a quote earlier in the season, basically saying, they don't pay me to play defense, which is like a red flag. It's like a Carmelo Anthony-esque red flag to begin with. It's like, motherfucker, we're paying you $20 million. You better play some motherfucking defense. $20 million contracts don't go out to people who don't play defense, bro. Nevertheless, he hasn't worked out for them. Obviously, they signed him so that, in the hopes that they can put together, in my opinion, they were optimistic and trying to say, hey, we're gonna try to make a playoff run. So we'll bring Parker in. He can give us some scoring. We're going to bring back LaVine. Hopefully everybody else pans out. Now, obviously, they've had a lot of injuries, whether it be, Dunn, Markkanen, Portis, and all the likes. But, all of it has culminated into a very, very poor season thus far. And, with all that being said, Parker is a $20 million expiring contract. That can net you a lot if you're looking at teams trying to get off salary. The one that stands out the most to me is Charlotte. I think Chicago and Charlotte should definitely be in talks. I have like four different versions of a trade between the two teams, depending on what each team is willing, what Chicago is willing to take back in 2 years salary, for a first round pick, what Charlotte would necessarily think they have to give up in order to justify giving up a first round pick. But essentially what the basis of it would be is, Jabari Parker goes to Charlotte, and Chicago takes back Biombo, who's got 2 years left on his deal, and maybe like a Marvin Williams. And then you can throw in an extra piece. Maybe Chicago could throw in Cristiano Felicio, who signed on for 3 more years, but only at $8 million. That would cut $24 million in salary for Charlotte next season, though they would have to take on an additional year of Felicio. Maybe that gets you back a first-round pick. Like, if that doesn't work, there's still other ways that you could go about it. But I feel like there should and could be an agreement reached there, because Charlotte needs to get off some money. Like, let's face it, they need to get off a lot of money because they are hovering right around the luxury tax, and they're going to have to pay Kemba Walker a shit ton of money next year, and they have very few expiring contracts. Jeremy Lamb being one of those, but that's about it. So, if they can work out a deal there, I think that would make a lot of sense. That'd be like a mid-first rounder. There would obviously be some protections on it, but I expect from what I've seen from Charlotte this year for them to make the playoffs. And maybe if you're Chicago, you're like, we'll do the deal, but it can only be top 10 protected because, for whatever reason you miss the playoffs by like 2 games, like we want to get this pick. I don't know. I could see a deal being worked out in that realm. Marvin Williams is a little bit older. He hasn't been great for a couple seasons now. Jabari Parker could definitely, I think, fill in the void of Marvin Williams. And you could potentially give Miles Bridges even more minutes playing the four if you were to work out a trade there. I don't know. I just think there's enough there to where they could work it out. Most of their contracts are 2-year contracts. And that's honestly, if I'm Chicago, if I'm going to trade away expirings and try to take on money in order to get a contract, I don't want anything beyond 2 years. But Charlotte's a perfect candidate. Like I said, they got to re-sign Kemba. They got a lot of 2-year deals. It makes a lot of sense to me. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, it could help. Charlotte's doing so much better now. So, it's just one of those things that Charlotte has to do whatever they can to keep Kemba. So you can, it's going to be tough regardless of how good they do this year. They're only so good. So, unless they make a deep run into the playoffs, it's going to be very tough to hold on to Kemba, in my opinion. He's saying all the right things right now, but we'll see. Jabari Parker can help a lot of teams. Charlotte could definitely – Marvin Williams is not that great. I mean, he's not bad. He's actually pretty solid. He's a solid stretch four.
Yeah. I mean, they're essentially the same player. Marvin Williams plays a little better defense, but not by a huge margin.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Marvin. Marvin was a big guy. He was a small forward in Atlanta. That's true.
Yeah, he was.
But, he's definitely transitioned into the four spot. A lot of guys are. A lot of teams are playing smaller now. Stretch four is the way of the future, honestly, for the NBA. So that's where Jabari Parker probably is going to end up being for most of his career regardless. Charlotte's not a bad spot. I would have to, look around and see where else he might fit well, but not a bad spot, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could work out well, and I think, just getting off a lot of money would be good, and I think Miles Bridges is there. Yeah, you might argue that he's a three, but he's really kind of more of the P.J. Tucker four.
Right, he's a stretch four.
Yeah, that's the way I see him, too. He's got that P.J. Tucker build. And in today's NBA, that's a four. I think that's where he fits best. I think there can be a deal worked out there. And, you know, if Chicago only has to take back two-year deals, even if it's a lot of money, it might be worth it. Because, like, let's face it, you ain't bringing in anybody in free agency next season. Like, nobody's going to be like, you know what, I'm going to play for the Bulls with that fucking dumpster fire right now. Mm-hmm. No. So, food for thought. If Garpax is out there listening to this podcast, which I seriously doubt.
Why wouldn't he?
Well, I mean, both those dudes should be looking for any avenue to any suggestions possible, because they're obviously their own thoughts aren't helping them out. So, but. Our apologies to Bulls fans. Like, it's been a long road for you guys, and but you know what? It hadn't been as long as for Knicks fans, and, like, you know, it's not like the Hawks have been like a pinnacle of success. So we ain't that sorry for you. But anyway, let's move on. Spencer Dinwiddie, this dude is like, he's really good. He's really good, yeah. And he signed a three-year, $34 million contract extension to remain a Brooklyn Net. I really like this deal for Brooklyn. There's been a lot of talk about Brooklyn trying to go after two max, you know, free agents in the offseason and, you know, try to build something via that. I think they saw the writing on the wall with, I mean, you just look at the free agents that are out there. Kyrie makes the most sense for him to stay in Boston. You know, it comes to Jimmy Butler, looks like he's very content in Philadelphia. Kawhi Leonard looks like if he's going anywhere, it's going to be the Clippers. KD not going to go to Brooklyn. Brooklyn hasn't even been in the breath of mentions. So it's pretty much either he stays in Golden State or goes to the Knicks with Clippers. So, like, you know, all of the big-name free agents, nobody is mentioned in Brooklyn. There was a slight rumor out there that Kyrie, because he grew up a Nets fan, you know, might consider them, but that would only be – well, and here's the thing. That would only be if he was going to be able to team up with somebody else. And, like, the fact that Jimmy Butler seems to be so content right now in Philly – he seems to really like it. And I mean, I have almost no doubt in my mind that he's going to resign. But yeah, I mean, there's just, it doesn't seem like, and you never know until it happens, but it doesn't seem like we're going to get maybe as much free agency movement as we have seen in the past couple of years. So with all that being said, yeah, especially because Spencer Dinwiddie was not a restricted free agent. The Nets could not match an offer that was, you know, an offer sheet that was given to him. He was an unrestricted free agent because he was bought out by Detroit, and then, you know, or he was cut by Detroit or whatever, and then, you know, bounced around and then ended up in Brooklyn and then ended up playing well. So, like, good on them to go ahead and, like, get this guy re-signed because he's a really good player and he could be a very valuable trade asset down the line for them, especially given the, you know, amount to this contract that he signed. I mean, $34 million over 3 years, like, that's just over $11 million a year. That is more than fair for a guy of Spencer Dinwiddie's talent. I love it. I love the deal. For the Nets, I think they're really smart to pull the trigger on this and get this deal done. And again, like, other than the Allen Crabbe trade, like, again, props to Sean Marks. He has done almost everything right with a shitty hand, you know, coming out of the gates. He's made the best of a bad situation and just kind of continues to impress me with his moves as GM.
I agree with you that 100%.
Nothing to add?
No, that's really it. You really about said everything there.
All right, fair enough. A man of few words. We call Kanan the Silent Assassin. Maybe we should call you the Silent Assassin. Maybe not silent. Yeah, there you go.
least amount of words, assassin.
We could probably come up with a better name for it than that. I'll think about it and maybe come up with something by the end of the show. All right, well, let's talk about somebody that I think, you know, maybe you'll have a few more words on, and I'll pass it to you first before I ramble and steal all the words. Lonzo Trier signed a two-year, $7 million contract extension with the Knicks. Team option on the second year as an added bonus, just in case, you know, you need to cut that $3.5 million in order to bring in a KD, if his contract is getting in the way of you getting, that dude. But nevertheless, what are your thoughts on Lonzo Trier signing his extension with the Knicks?
Well, actually, let me give you a little bit of my initial thoughts on Dinwiddie before I moved on to Trier. Because I feel like I shitted on him. And I'm not trying to shit on him, but the man's good. I told you before, I think he's arguably the best player on the Nets. So he got his money.
Yeah.
There's just not much to say. They paid the man. He got his money. He should eat. I mean, I thought he would be a starter. He's coming off the bench. He's your sixth man.
Me too.
And that's fine. You know, that's fine. I mean, he's doing great off the bench. He's good as a starter. I'm just completely shocked that this guy's as good as – he's become as good as he has so quickly. Because I remember him, like, floating around there, especially in Detroit. He was a big point guard. Like, what was he? What wasn't he? He just couldn't sit anywhere.
Combo
and he just
guard.
Turned into – right. And he's just become a fascinating player. And – Nets are smart to re-up him. So, look, all the power in the world to Dinwiddie. But anyway,
yeah,
on the Trier.
And by the way, just real quick as an aside before we get into the Trier stuff, I was a big proponent last season of the trade Spencer Dinwiddie to the Warriors for McCall and a first-round pick from the Warriors because – obviously, Dinwiddie could have definitely helped the Warriors out last year and this year. But the main reason that you would consider doing that is because he was not a restricted free agent. There was no guarantee that the Nets were going to keep him after this year. Props on them for not pulling the trigger on that kind of deal, because they could have easily gotten a late first-rounder for Spencer Dinwiddie, like whether it be from the Rockets, the Warriors. There were plenty of teams out there that had, like, a shitty, like, one-year expiring low-level contract that they could have swapped and a first-round pick for him. And, you know, the Nets were like, no, we're going to keep him, and we're going to see where things go, and they ended up re-signing him. So props to them on, you know, being able to pull that off. But anyway, Lonzo Trier, your thoughts.
My man, Alonzo Trier. The surprise of the draft, in my opinion, the surprise of the draft. I didn't know much about him. That's why. He's the surprise of the non-drafted, the undrafted.
Yes.
I did not.
The next Ben Wallace, son.
We'll see. Somebody, he's the best undrafted rookie this year, at the very least.
Absolutely.
The kid's got game.
Yes.
It's going to take him a while. I mean, he's older than a lot of the other rookies. I think he's a four-year guy. But the kid's good, man. He can dribble. I mean, he's the ISO zone. He'll call him ISO zone. Is he a three-year guy? All right, so he's a junior coming out of college.
So.
I just know he's older than our rookies. He's older than Mitchell Robinson. He's older than Kevin Knox. So that's why I figured. He's good. He's surprisingly good. He's fearless for a kid. You know, he's just coming out of college. He doesn't back down from anybody. He's going to be inconsistent here and there, and he's dealing with a little hammy injury right now. But the kid's got so much game. He's a pure scorer. The kid knows what he's doing already, and it's just I'm so surprised. And I think he's a top 10 rookie this year, in my opinion. So this is
damn
I'm
close.
Just completely shocked.
Yeah.
He, at the very least, and I think I'm just very happy with what I've seen out of him, and he earned that fucking contract. And I feel bad
yeah,
for Ron because they had to cut Ron. I love Ron Baker, but, you know, it's, you know, shit happens, and he'll find the spot. The kid's got hot, cool, grit, but
don't feel bad for Ron Baker. Ron Baker made $9 million over the last two seasons for doing nothing, for being a spark plug. That's all he was. Like, you could put him in. man, that man ain't got no NBA skill. Like, that dude's got to be the whitest player in the league, and I mean that pejoratively. Like, that dude ain't got no kind
like
of real
Ron.
NBA skill.
I like Ron.
So
but yeah.
No, I mean, Ron's impossible to, like, not like. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this to, like, hate on the guy. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't feel bad for him. The fact that the Knicks were willing to give him $9 million over two seasons,
right,
like, that's charity enough right there. So, like,
yeah,
and look at it like this. The dude got cut. He didn't even have to play the rest of the season and still got his $4.5 million this year. So,
this is true.
But, yeah, he ain't going to get another NBA contract. That dude's done. Maybe he can go play in China, maybe the Euro League. But yeah, he's as far as in the NBA, I don't expect him to get another contract. I mean, maybe if somebody's really desperate. But, yeah, I don't know. Especially because he's like a combo guard.
Yeah.
That – you know,
more of a shooting guard that can't shoot.
More of a shooting guard that can't shoot, yeah. But, like, he's got a little bit of passing capability, but he can't really handle the ball as well as you would want a point guard to. So, yeah, he's got too many X's on the chart, on the list of, like, things that you want out of an NBA player. But, no, I feel you. It is unfortunate to see him have to be the guy on the chopping block. We never want to see something like that happen to a guy who unquestionably gives his all every time he's on the court. And that's the endearing quality of Ron Baker. He's definitely, like, one of the least skilled guys in the league. But he is obviously – he's got that Russell Westbrook, like, going to go 100 miles an hour every time I'm on the court. And there have been spurts where I've seen him play where I was like, damn, dude, that dude just played, like, really great for, like, 4 minutes.
Yep. Face first.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But, yeah, man, I'm excited, too. I like this deal. I really like this deal for Lonzo Trier. The fact that, like, he's getting paid basically what, like, the 10th overall pick is getting paid this year, that's amazing. Like, That never happens to somebody who's undrafted. And, you know what, props to the Knicks, because, you know what, we talk a lot of shit about the Knicks. Well, you don't, but just as a basketball community, we talk a lot of shit about the Knicks. Like,
Luke talks a lot of shit about my play.
Well, just like the royal we. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we talk shit about the owner. We talk shit. Like, everybody talks shit about
the
Knicks.
They get a lot of shit.
But I give them props on this. Like, they are not afraid to pay people. They will pay people, essentially even more than what they think they're worth. And that's, you know, that should stand for something. Those motherfuckers paid Allen Houston like $40 million more than he deserved.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. That should stand for something. And I got to give them props on that. So, of course, they were willing to do it here. And good on them. Good on them. Good on Lonzo Trier for not giving up and playing his heart out and getting that contract. And you're right, he definitely deserved it. Dude has been playing great. And you know what? Like, it honestly kind of makes me look at their roster a little differently now. And, like, I know you've been hesitant to, like, want to move Hardaway, And I understand why. Hardaway has been really good this year for you guys. And he's developing into one of those kind of potential fringe all-star guys. Like, he's kind of where Chris Middleton was, like, 2 or 3 years ago. And that's when Chris Middleton was in about the same time frame of the contract that Hardaway's in. Like, just signed that post-rookie contract deal, like, 2 years in, and Middleton was, like, starting to take shape. Of course, he got the injury. But, like, I understand, like, the hesitation there. But, like, what gives me a little less hesitation about moving him is the fact that, like, Lonzo Trier looks so good.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I think that's got to – it's got to be, like, a positive thing for Knicks fans to look at and cheer for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm happy for you, and I'm happy for Lonzo, happy for the Knicks. And I just think at this point in time, we all want to see the Knicks be relevant again. Like, even if you're not a Knicks fan. Well, dude, like, why wouldn't you, man? Like, it's just the Knicks, man. They're the Knicks. It's like you want to see them play well. And it's been too long. It's like, you know what? I'll liken it to this, Joel. You know, you were saying last year, like, you hate the Lakers. But you just felt so bad about the Lakers being so shitty for like 4 or 5 seasons. You're like, man, like I don't like them, but you know, in fact, I think you even said I hate them, but like I just don't. I feel bad for them nonetheless. Like I want them to like be a decent team.
Right.
Like I don't even hate the Knicks.
Successful for so long. Yeah.
Right.
This is sad.
And
this
like
sad,
I don't even hate the Knicks. I just want to see them like be a relevant team again. You know, we'll see what happens this offseason and with the draft and all that. But my fingers are crossed for you guys. Like I've said it before and I'll say it again. I would love for KD to go there. But anyway, let's move on. We got another little quick Knicks topic to talk about. James Dolan said recently when asked, he would be willing to sell the Knicks given the right offer. He was very kind of vague in his quotes. He didn't indicate that he wanted to sell the Knicks. He even threw out the number $5 billion and honestly said it in kind of the manner that was like, you know, people throw out numbers to me from time to time, $5 billion. I don't know, like, as if to say, like, $5 billion wasn't enough money for him to sell the Knicks. Keep in mind, the Clippers recently sold for $2 billion.
Right.
And that's another huge markup. So $5 billion is ridiculous. But, you know, just in general, what are your thoughts on this? And when are you starting the you know, GoFundMe campaign for everybody in America to band together so we can buy the Knicks from James Dolan, all be co-owners, and get this motherfucker out of there.
I already started it.
Because I got a hundy on it right now, son. Like, I'll put it down.
I'm going to make that shit, like, publicly owned, like, the packages and shit. Stock.
Yes.
This is bullshit. Oh, man. I'll believe it when I see it with that guy. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it at all that he would be open to it if it was for the right price. I think a lot of us would. Anybody, you give me $5 billion, I'm not going to say no. You know what I mean? That's a lot of money. But it really depends on the deal because I don't know, is he a Knicks fan? Because it's different if you own the team and you like the money you're making, if you like the team and you it's just your team. It doesn't matter really how much you offer me. I'm not going to sell the team because I love the team. It's different. You know what I mean? And I think right now he's been more hands-off lately. I'm not really worried about him very much. He's not as active, especially the last couple of years, believe it or not, because he wasn't around really with Phil Jackson. He let Phil Jackson do whatever the hell he wanted. And guess what? It didn't work. But that's not his fault that he let him do what he wanted to do. You know what I mean? He paid the man. He'll pay anybody as long as you do your job. He would meddle a lot in the past, but that's because he had a close relationship with Isaiah, and that was really the biggest one right there. Those are bad years for us. Those are really bad years for us. It's a new era now. He let Steve Mills and Scott Perry do what they got to do, and so far so good. And if he sells the team one day, yeah, that'd be great. But I ain't gonna fucking wait for it.
No, and I mean you make a valid point. I think that one of my big hangups is the fact that David Griffin had interest in the job, but ultimately didn't take it because there were going to be so many impediments. Like, James Dolan wants to keep those key people in place that are already there, mm-hmm. which is like a sign of loyalty and like respectable, like on his part. But like, you could have got David Griffin, who's like a really good GM, and like, and frankly, the only person worth listening to on NBA TV. Fuck Players Only. It is the worst thing to ever happen to broadcast basketball. It's so bad. Oh, and like every time I see David Griffin, every time I see him on NBA TV, I'm just like, thank God, like a person who actually knows like all the ins and outs of basketball and isn't just like an ex-player who like is, you know, just talking about how the 80s were like real man basketball. And like, but nevertheless, I digress. So like there are parts of me that agree with you. There are parts of me that don't. Ultimately, I still think it has gotten better, but it's still, there's still a lot of hiccups in the organization that, you know, could be, you know, better handled if you had, say, an owner like Steve Ballmer. Like, that dude is the kind of owner that any team wants. Because that dude is the same kind of way as James Dolan. Like, will throw money at anything, but he's always looking at, like, kind of new creative ways to mix things up. And, like, let's bring in Jerry West. Let's promote... you know, let's hire this writer to be like in charge of our outreach and like various different things like that. Like that, I feel like James Dolan is still kind of he is more hands off, but he's still almost archaic in the way that he handles that team. He doesn't necessarily know how to own and run an NBA franchise, and it's just it sounds like it's more frustrating to me than it is to you. Maybe you're just choosing to be optimistic about it.
Well, I can't control it, so it's not much like I have to like let
that
it
is
go.
True,
you know what I mean? What am I gonna do? Yeah. Bitch and moan and cry. I can't control what's going on. I could only
You're preaching to the choir. It's the same shit I say about that Luka trade. Like, I can't control it. Like, what are we gonna do? Are we gonna fucking like fucking burn our Hawks jerseys and become Mavericks fans? Like, no.
Right.
It is what it is. We're gonna cross our fingers and hope Trae Young pans out. Like, you know.
I can only move forward. I can only look forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Nah, man. I feel you there. I feel you there. We're you know, we view the world the same in that sort of aspect.
Right.
Speaking of the world, it's wintertime, at least in the northern hemisphere, and it's cold. It's been actually rather pleasant this past week. Like, hasn't been terrible. I don't know. How's it been up there in Jersey, Joel? Has it been all right?
It's been wet and rainy a lot lately.
Which always makes it like a little colder.
Yeah, it doesn't help at all.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Well, down here in Georgia, it's been relatively dry the past week. We did get a little bit of rain over the weekend, but it wasn't terrible. But yeah, like today was like kind of nice. It was kind of sunny. It was like 50 degrees, which was nice. But we all know that's going to take a turn for the worst in any day now. And you know what that means. Time to dig out those bulky winter clothes that don't quite do the trick. Nay, I say, we have a better solution from our sponsor, Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat similar to a heated car seat. This clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, undergarments. Dude, their jackets are the best. They are so baller. Like, you just throw one of these suckers on. Like, you just wear a T-shirt, honestly. I still wear, like a long-sleeve shirt. But you could just wear a T-shirt and throw this jacket on and just be totally good to go. Thing is amazing. I love it. It is by far my favorite of their products. But all of their products are great, and you should try any and all of them that you think would help you out. Action Heat is available in men's and women's attire, offers great new styles, and is very reasonably priced, starting at just $39.99. Plus, if you go to actionheat.com, you can enter our promo code GEEK, that's G-E-E-K, at checkout and get 20% off your order. That's actionheat.com. At checkout, enter our promo code GEEK, G-E-E-K, and get 20% off your order. You can't control the weather, but you can control your environment with Action Heat. All right, Joel, let's move on. I almost called you Juwan. I'm sorry. That's got to be – I'm embarrassed.
We look so similar, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, like, it's like you could be brothers, honestly. Like,
all right.
I don't know how you're not.
Happens. Like, I don't know how we go out together sometimes. It's just that people mistake us for brothers all the time.
I believe it. Let's move on. The Detroit Pistons are reportedly interested in trading for Markelle Fultz.
Interesting.
I'm just going to go ahead and throw my hat into the ring with both you and Luke. The Sixers should not trade Markelle Fultz this year. You're not going to get adequate value out of him. Like, just keep him, get him back to health. Probably don't even play him again this year. Reassess where you are next year and go from there. I can't picture anything that the Sixers would want from Detroit other than if they were willing to give up a first rounder and an expiring contract, which they don't really have an expiring contract that matches up with Fultz other than Ish Smith, and they're not going to give up Ish Smith and a first-round pick for Markelle Fultz. Not going to happen. I'm sure Detroit is interested because they think they can, like, pilfer Fultz for, like, next nothing. The Sixers should just be patient. And the fact that the Pistons are interested makes somewhat sense, especially like the, you know, obviously Reggie Davis has been pretty much on the trading block rumor for the last like two seasons. Every trade deadline he's like brought up and mentioned. If you're going to move him, like, yeah, sure. Like, maybe make a three team trade where you can get Fultz. Maybe a three-team trade where, the Suns get Davis and, you know, you send Jackson or somebody to one of those wings to Philly and they get back Fultz. Maybe something like that can work and make the contracts, you know, fit. But I just don't see it. I don't think Philly should be so gung-ho to move Fultz this season. They have a lot of second rounders. They have a little bit of salary still to work with, whether it be Muscala or Chandler, that they can move in order to, you know, kind of bolster their roster. I think that's the route they should go. Just little deals, nothing huge. I wouldn't move Fultz this year. I assume you're still of the same mindset. But what are your thoughts on Detroit being interested in Fultz? And, you know, do you still have the same mindset that Philly should just essentially kick the can down the road with Fultz and reassess where they are at the beginning of next season, or this off season, as it were?
Yeah, I'm pretty much same spot. Unless they get a really good offer. I mean, obviously, you get something good out of it, yeah, it's different. But it depends. I mean, he's a young kid, and he's still, you know, recovering. We don't know if he's healthy. That's really the biggest. If he's healthy,
right.
That changes things. And no one's going to offer you anything significant while he's still recovering. It's just not. It's not likely, you know what I mean? I don't know what Detroit's offering. Detroit might be interested, but it really depends on what they're offering. Detroit doesn't have anything really that you want. Like, well, I mean, they might. What would they want? What can they give up that's worth Markelle, a healthy Markelle Fultz? I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is, like, one of Stanley Johnson or Reggie Bullock. And, again, if I'm the Sixers, I'm just like, nah, I'm good. Like, yeah, I mean, neither one of those guys have worked out under, I think, Bullock's had 3 years. Stanley Johnson's had 4 years. Neither one has.
Yeah, Stanley Johnson has kind of been disappointing for them. I mean, he's been up and down this year, but overall, he was a lottery pick, and he says, what the fuck? this is really what it's been with him. And Reggie Bullock has been a journeyman. He's found the rotation. He's in the starting lineup now. And Luke Kennard's now in the starting lineup. So maybe that'll work out. I don't know. The Casey's working around with shit in Detroit. And they're still in the playoff run, so I guess they're doing okay. But like I said, there's nothing super valuable there in Detroit to give up for Markelle. So it's they're interested, sure, but we'll see.
Yeah, and that's the thing in a nutshell is, like, if Philly is going to trade Fultz, you have to get back some kind of value for him, something that at least helps your team this year and for the next 2 years. That's your window if you're Philly. You made the Butler trade. Butler's in his prime right now and will be in his prime for at least the next two seasons after this season. That is where you, like, if you're making a Fultz trade, you need to get somebody who's going to help you for the next 3 years, the rest of this year and then 2 years after. You know, honestly, ironically, you know who I think the best person out there is who could, like, actually, like, really help this team? It's Nemanja Bjelica.
You laughed that shit off in the summer, and shit, he's playing good.
He's playing great. Like, could you – and you know what's funny is, like, had the Sixers known they were going to, like, do what they did and trade for Butler – they probably would have brought back Ilyasova on the contract that he signed with Milwaukee, brought back Bellinelli on the contract that he signed, and signed Bellinelli and never trade or and signed Bjelica and never have traded for Wilson Chandler. And they'd be so much better off. But obviously hindsight's 20/20, they never knew they were, you know, gonna make that trade and you know, it is what it is. And, you know, Brett Brown, basically, I mean, I think he was shoved into the GM position. And, you know, I think one of the directives that probably was given to him was, don't do anything that's going to, like, you know, lock us up with anything long term. Like, we want short term stuff so we can still be a player in free agency. And then, you know, when Brand came in, he was I guess we could do that, but, like, you know, we go get Jimmy Butler, so we should do that, right? And it's like, yeah, I mean, you should. It just sucks that, like, now you're in a situation where you're going to have to pay Butler at the end of this season. You have to keep Redick. You're not going to have all that money that you had to sign all these people that, you know, long-term that you could have done and be in a much better position. But, hey, man, hindsight's 20/20, and life's a bitch, and then you die. That's the way things go. Let's move on. Let's talk some rookies. Little rookie ladder, if you will. Top five rookies. How do you want to do this? Do you want to name your top five, and then I'll name mine, or do you want to go, like, you'll give one, I'll give one, you'll give two, I'll give two? How do you want to do it?
I'd rather do one and one. I think, that's the one I want to do. Like, start from five and get to one, like that.
Okay. All right. Sounds good to me. So I'm going to give the floor to you. You start.
All right. Oh, man. I just did my list today, and I had a top 10. My fifth, who was my fifth? I think it was Jaren Jackson Jr. who was my fifth. He's currently fifth on my list for the year. I'm talking about from beginning of the year to now. There's going to be up and downs. Some guys are playing better than they were in the beginning of the year and shit like that. But right now, I think I got Jaren Jackson Jr. as my fifth. He could be high, and then he was lower at one point. But right now, I got him fifth. He's been having a good year, man, as a starting power. He got into the starting lineup because Jermichael Green got hurt, and he's kept it. I mean, since Jermichael's not coming off the bench, Jaren's not the starter. He had that crazy fucking block game a couple days ago, or maybe a couple weeks ago now. But the kid's good, man. The kid's going to be a solid player. He plays well next to Marc Gasol. Memphis is one of the better defensive teams in the league, and he's a big reason why. He can play the power forward spot. I wasn't sure he could 100% because he looked like more of a stretch big, like a center type. But, man, he played really well at the four spot. I got to give him a lot of credit. He's played tremendous. So, yeah, I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is currently my number five on my ladder.
Okay, well, let me do this then because I feel like we're going to have a lot of the same names. So let me just elaborate on why I think Jaren Jackson is on this list, and we'll say he's number three on mine. Dude's been sick. He's been so good. He's like him as a defensive complement to Marc Gasol is Gasol's a very, very good defender, solid paint protector, and like adding Jaren Jackson into that mix. Like, I agree with you. I thought, like, for sure this guy's going to be a five. Like, in today's NBA, like, yeah, he can stretch the floor, but, like, is his lateral quickness good enough and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's the thing. If you're playing the stretch four, you're usually guarding guys that aren't super athletic. He's way more athletic than your average four. And because he can spread the floor and he's done so well thus far, he's been playing great. His like what he brings defensively, just ends up complimenting Gasol. He's like perfect. And you know what? Like he was at one point third on my mock draft list, my rankings. I ended up dropping him down to fourth because Bamba really kind of impressed me down the like stretch of the season. And just, you know, his combine appearance was terrific. I'll have to eat crow on that. I think Jackson, at least early on, looks like the better player. Now, of course, it's they both got, you know, 20 years ahead of them to you know, prove what they're made of. But, like, Jackson's just, he's a guy that you could put on any team and he's going to help you. Because of his versatility, the fact that he can shoot the ball, he can rebound, he can block shots, he can steal, he can guard multiple positions. He's amazing, and that's why I have him third on my particular list. I mean, the guy's fucking amazing. And you know what? Honestly, he was my – it was a coin flip if both Ayton and Luka were gone and the Hawks were picking at three, I was like, take Bamba or Jackson. I don't know which one's going to be better, but, like, one of those guys. We need a center, like, one of those guys. But I was early – for the majority of the season, I was leaning towards Jackson. And then I just started to kind of drink the Bamba Kool-Aid at the end because of just, you know – I don't know. Luke was trying to sell me on him, and like there was all this, like, you know, Bamba, like he's got like 7'9" wingspan and all that, you know. So like I did, but yeah, Jackson looks great. All right, who you got as fourth?
Fourth, he's come on lately, and I've moved him into my fourth spot. Colin Sexton, the young bull of the Cleveland Cavaliers, has moved into my top five. The kid's, man, he's good. Like, he wasn't there in the beginning of the year. It took him a while to get consistent minutes. Now he's a starting point guard on the Cavaliers team. That they're still not good, but they're at least more competitive these days. Big reason why. He's had a big resurgence the last couple weeks, and So I think he's played well enough, though, so far to move him into my fourth spot. So the young boy, Colin Sexton, has moved into my top five for the time being.
Yeah, he's still outside looking in for me. I think I got him at six. But, yeah, he's been really impressive lately. Essentially, like, from what I heard, he got kind of challenged by the vets on that team. Like, was like, yo, dude, come on. Like, you're super skilled. You should be playing better. And, like, he's stepped up since then. Like, he definitely looks like the point guard that, you know, they need and that they drafted, that they, you know, the number eight overall pick.
Right, that Luke thought he would be.
Exactly. Although I will still stand by my prior statement, and I'll actually get to that in a second. But no, I mean, I think he's played really well, especially as of late. You know, I mean, I think it's hard to hold against him, you know, his start to the season, because the damn had such a logjam at point guard. I mean, they had George Hill,
they didn't know what they were doing.
And they didn't know what they were doing. Yeah, they didn't know if they were, like, trying to win or develop young talent or what. Now they know what they're doing. Now they know they're tanking. And so they're playing their young players. And essentially, like, I mean, he's been looking really good. I will still, as I alluded to earlier, I'll still stand by my statement to Luke. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will be better than Colin Sexton. And he is my number five player. And, okay, so you don't have him on your list then, right?
No, I do. He's just not on my five. Yeah, he's top ten for me.
But but he's not on your five. All right, cool.
I don't want to
spoil anybody that you got coming up. But, yeah, he's number five on my list. That dude has been playing great for the Clippers. He's kind of been playing, like somewhat limited minutes, but not really. I mean, I would have to, like, take a look at, like, what his averages are. But he's been playing really great when he is on the court. Huh?
Right. He's getting solid minutes in L.A. as a starter.
Yeah, he's getting solid minutes behind Patrick Beverley, which, you know, makes sense. Beverley's, like, you know, solid
vet starting,
and all that.
Say.
They did promote him. So he's starting now. But, like, dude, he's gonna be good, man. He's 6'6". He knows how to play the game. He is a more than adequate passer. He can handle the ball. He's a better shooter than I thought he was gonna be.
Me too.
And I think that most people thought he was gonna be, like, that was always kind of the gripe on his game, was he wasn't gonna be, you know, an adequate shooter, but he has kind of been like, fuck y'all, like, watch me shoot the ball. And, you know, like, it's been a lot of fun to watch. And I think, honestly, one of the biggest selling points for the Clippers this offseason should be, look, we got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, we got Lou Williams, and we got Montrezl Harrell. All of these guys are on the cheap, and, you know, we got all this cap space. If we move Gallinari, we got room for two max players. Like, you know, all of this noise about them trying to lure both Kawhi and KD, you know, those are all good selling points for them to do so, because all of those guys are good and they're all cheap. And, you know, like, that's, like, if you have that team right there, just that in and of itself, you're going to be probably the favorite, honestly, to, like, win it all. I mean, you put Kawhi and KD on a team, and you could pretty much put anybody around them. But you're telling me you got Lou Williams probably coming off the bench. Like, maybe Jerome Robinson makes some strides. I haven't really seen anything great from him. I thought that was a really weird pick at the time. I really thought they should. Yeah, well, and I really thought they should have. I think they should have just taken MPJ. Like, I mean, it just would have made so much sense. Like, you got the point guard that of the future that you wanted, and then you just take MBJ because he's got so much like potential if he can be healthy.
Yeah.
But you know, there were like three or four teams ahead of him that I was like, MBJ, take him. Like, how has he fallen this far? I mean, Shea, man, he's gonna be good. And I'll cross my fingers, I'm still hoping he's only gonna be the second best point guard out of this draft. But he might be the best. We'll see if Trey can get a shot right, because that's gonna be the biggest thing with Trey Young is can he get his shot to start falling. He's been great at driving to the bucket. He's been super great at passing the ball, albeit he does turn the ball over a lot. But his assist-to-turnover ratio, because he gets so many assists, isn't really all that bad. In fact, his assist-to-turnover ratio is like, I think, 0.6 or 0.7 better than Luka. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it's just, I find any reason to try to like justify us doing what we did. So that's there's maybe one reason that I can like hang my hat on. But yeah, Shea, mm-hmm. I like him. He's gonna be really good. All right, who you got at number three?
No arguments with Shea. By the way, he's in my top 10. He fell out of my top 5 when Colin Sexton, the Bull, moved in. Jaren Jackson kind of stayed steady in my 5. But number
sure.
3. Yeah, well, you know how it is. Number 3. Damn, what is my number 3? What was my number 3? Give me a second. I know who my top 2 are. Oh, wait, I know who my 3 is. I'm sorry. Trey Young was my 3.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Trey Young is my number 3. He's had a good year. He's struggled lately with his shot, like you said, but I think overall the kid's got – he's better than I thought he would be, honestly. He can pass and he can shoot, and he's just a little small, and I'm not sure how his defense really is at the moment, but I think overall Trey Young has had a –
it's
bad.
It's really bad. It's really bad.
It's bad. But, yeah, it is what it is. But Trey Young, I think, has had a good year overall, and he is currently at my number 3 spot. As soon as that man starts hitting his shots again, who knows what he'll be.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. He's got to start hitting those shots, and he has not been. He's shooting like 25% from three-point range, somewhere around there, which is obviously very bad. Now, I feel like a lot of this coaching, essentially they're letting him shoot and encouraging him to shoot whenever he wants to. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I think, honestly, and I don't want to, like, hammer a new coach, but, like, feel like you can let a first-year player just shoot whenever the fuck they feel like it. I think you have to enforce some amount of discipline. Now, Trey's very good. Right, and Trey is very good at getting other people involved. That is undoubtedly he leads the league in assists as it pertains to rookies, and I think he's like top 5 in assists league wide or something like that. Maybe not that high, but he's up there as far as assists. But like he's got to rein in his shots. Like, his shot selection has to be better. I understand that he can make a 35-footer, but he shouldn't take 3 a game. You know, you're not yet – you don't have the confidence to be taking Steph Curry shots yet, dude. You know, they've got to get him some more help offensively. Herter has really stepped up over the last like 3 or 4 games, and been a huge help to this team. But nevertheless, he's still kind of struggled with the double teams that teams throw it in, and you know everything else. I got him right now 6, maybe 7. And I'm probably being a little more critical on him because he's my guy, because he's on my team, mm-hmm. and I watch all of these games, and I'm, you know, like, kind of focused in on it all. But yeah, like, I think ultimately, I think he will end up being top 5 once the season has progressed. I expect him to make first team all rookie NBA, especially because Luka is not playing a guard position. He's playing a forward position. He's basically like the greatest version of Hedo Turkoglu that you can imagine. So like, you know, like I think that kind of helps out Trey as far as maybe making that first team all rookie NBA. But yeah, no, I can't put him in my top 5 right now. Let me kick it to you on your number 2, and then I'll go back. I've lost track, but I do have a number 4 pick that I'll come back to.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think our top 2 are going to be the same.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious what the top 2 are. DeAndre Ayton is my number 2.
Yep.
Man's a monster among men. No, he's pretty damn good. I like the kid. I knew he was going to be very good. He was the number 1 pick overall. And he's definitely playing like it. Look, I'm watching him play right now. He's the real deal. And he's just getting started. So, I mean, he's definitely right now, unfortunately for him, number 2 rookie in the league at the moment. But well-deserved. The kid's good.
Yeah, man. He's been fucking awesome. Like, The thing is with Ayton, he's scoring and rebounding at such a high number. It's just ridiculous. He is built like no 18-year-old should, like 19-year-old rather, should ever be built. Like, he looks like his body looks like he's 27 years old, and has worked at it for that long. And, you know, given the fact that he is this young, he's only going to get better. He's only going to get stronger. He's going to develop his game. The one thing that he really needs to work on is just his defensive recognition. He should be blocking a lot more shots than he is right now. In fact, he kind of reminds me of, like, Karl-Anthony Towns in the fact that Towns, like, essentially, Towns should be a better defensive player than he is, and he's actually made some strides since Butler left. You know, he's actually like stepped up and been better defensively. And I think just getting Butler out of that locker room, there was obviously just a lot of chaos with that. It's kind of helped him clear his head and just focus more on his game. I think that's where he needs to develop the most. But, I mean, just his numbers starting off are great. He's going to average a double-double this season as a rookie, and he's only going to get better. And
yeah, as a rookie, that's impressive.
Yes, and the fact that he can spread the floor to boot, like, yeah, dude's going to be good. He's going to be really fucking good. I'm totally with you. He's definitely my number 2 as well, which leads us to the number 1, obviously, Luka motherfucking Doncic. Proceed, sir.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to take it from there. Luka Doncic is the fucking man. Nick, I didn't want to spoil it, but have you watched Luka play? Any Luka game?
Yeah, I watched him. Good, I watched him. I watched him fucking beat my Hawks for fucking like a week ago. I was like, I know we're taking, but I really want to get this win. I really want to get this win. We didn't get the win, by the way.
You got one, right? You got one of those wins, right?
I think so, early in the season.
You did. Yeah, early in the season. I think you got the first one. I forget. But, you know, Luka's a serious beast. Dallas is good now. And I had no faith in Dallas. I mean, I'm not going to say no faith. I didn't have them making the playoffs, you know.
No.
I had them, I think, 11. I just saw my power.
I don't think they'll make the playoffs. They've had a lot of home games early on. They're going on a long road trip. I think 9 out of the next 11 are road games. I don't expect them to keep it up. But the fact that they are in the playoff mix this early, like same thing with Sacramento. Like neither one of us saw that coming. That motherfucker for some reason like had faith in Dallas. And
yeah, I have no idea why.
but he did, and I gotta give him props on it. Like, and I'll say this, I picked Indiana to make the playoffs last year, and I was like the one guy, and you picked the Jazz. Luke picked Clippers, was real high on the Clippers, and Juwan had Dallas, so they got those dark horse teams this year, so we'll see how both of their dark horse teams pan out.
Exactly. He's a big reason why they're there. I mean, they're playing way better. Their bench is better than I expected it. I was confused by what I was expecting to see. As much as I liked Luka coming out of from Europe, and there was no Dirk. Dirk just got back like 2 games ago. It's just I didn't know what to expect, and I hate the fact that they play like 4 fucking point guards. I don't get that. It's just it's a weird. They do things a little differently in Dallas, but they're managing, and even if Dallas doesn't make it, I need Sacramento to make it just despite Luke. It'd be very funny to watch happen.
Yes,
I'd love to see them make the playoffs.
Yes, I'm so rooting for the Kings right now, dude.
Yeah. I didn't know I'd want to be a Kings fan until this season, but yeah, that's pretty. I'm following them right now. I'm like, go Sacramento, go!
Crazy. Right, crazy. Me too, dude.
I talk so much shit about Sacramento too, the city. Like, why do they ever see all this extra shit? But I'm cheering for y'all. Hope y'all do it. It's crazy.
Yeah, me too, man. I definitely want to see them succeed. Luka is the clear cut favorite.
Mm-hmm.
He is bar none the clear cut favorite for rookie of the year.
He's not a rookie, man. He doesn't play like a rookie. That's the thing.
No, that's the thing. He doesn't. And that's playing 3 years of professional ball overseas for you.
That's right. High level professional ball.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Going into this season, when you heard Goran Dragic or Kristaps Porzingis or any number of these guys who have played either with him or against him say, yeah, this kid's special. He's going to be amazing. It's like, dude, at what point do you stop trusting people who play the game professionally and are like, yeah, this kid's going to be amazing? You didn't hear that about anybody else in the draft because professional players hadn't played against any of these other kids. But they played against Luka, and anybody who played with him or against him who's in the NBA said, he is going to be special. He's going to be something, which is why it was just baffling to me. Like, I can understand taking Ayton over him. It's kind of the same thing as, in the 84 draft, Houston Rockets taking Olajuwon over Jordan. Like, get that. Totally get it. Like, Olajuwon, great fucking player. Like, totally made sense. You needed a center, everything else. But, taking Bagley over Luka is like fucking taking Sam Bowie over Jordan. Like, that was fucking stupid. And then fucking taking Luka and then trading him away is like taking Jordan and trading him away. Like, what the fuck are you doing? This doesn't make any sense. Not to say Luka's going to be Jordan. I'm not saying that at all. Or I'm not even saying that Ayton's going to be Olajuwon. I'm just saying there are parallels there and history repeats itself. But nevertheless, he's definitely definitely the number one prospect or the number one rookie thus far this season. Oh, by the way, my number four was Wendell Carter. Wendell Carter's played really well.
Oh,
he's only averaging about 25 minutes a game, but he's got 10 points, about 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.5 blocks. He's playing well in his role for that team. And I think he's going to be really good, and I stand by my assessment that he's going to be better than Marvin Bagley. We'll see how that pans out.
He's hurt right now.
I'm not a fan, man. He reminds me of Beasley. He's a Michael Beasley 2.0. He'll be lucky if he's like better than Beasley. But we'll see. We'll see how it all pans out. But anyway, we're gonna end it there. Shout out to our sponsors, SeatGeek, Action Heat, and Blue Chew. And we will see you guys next week. And if we don't see you before then, Merry Christmas. Join us this weekend. We got a very fun show lined up for Geek Vibes. And until we see you again, peace.
Peace.